When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is up, Pittsburgh Steelers fans, and welcome back to another episode of Let's Ride, a post-round one NFL draft edition. Welcome to the show. I'm Jeff Hartman. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you know how we do this. This is being recorded on Friday morning. It is a late published time. Normally, you have it right when you wake up in the morning. It was a late night. In case you were following our draft coverage on Thursday night, it was a late night. We were up until pretty late, doing a lot of different things with Steel Curtain Network as a part of Fans for Sports Network. And it was great. It was an awesome experience. I loved the draft in our new home. This is our first time having the draft, being the Steel Curtain Network, and it was a lot of fun. But so we pushed the start date for Let's Ride back. I put that out on Twitter last night in case you didn't see it and you're wondering where it is. But here we are, Friday morning, and now we get to kind of decompress after round one before we get ready for round two. Round two and round three will be Friday night. And then I will be back on Monday. Now, if you want to hear my thoughts on these picks, you can check out Steel Curtain Network, both on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, as well as our audio podcast platform to get all the picks, all the information and my thoughts. But on Monday is when we'll be diving into those really, really, I guess, the minutia of the draft, how everything played out. So we know what happened in round one. We'll dissect everything else on Monday. I'll probably have a guest on or two. We're going to have a bunch of guests on coming up in the upcoming weeks. But let's talk about the Steelers' first round selection. They did not trade. They didn't trade back. They didn't trade up. And they got, according to them, they got their guy. Steelers take Troy Fa'utanu. That's how you say his name, according to the NFL draft documentation that's out there. It's not Fa'utanu. It's Fa'utanu. A lot of times those Polynesian names like Palomalu, they pronounce every single Fa'utanu. So that's who they take out of Washington. And I think, honestly, we're going to talk about this in the first half. In the second half, we have some winners and losers, some real quick winners and losers, and then talk about what's coming up. What should the Steelers do in these next two rounds, rounds two and three, where the Steelers have three picks. So the Steelers take him, 20th pick. They don't trade. And everyone's kind of wondering, well, this is the guy that first, there were a lot of teams that flagged him medically with knee injuries. Okay, so the Steelers, we saw this last year with Darnell Washington. A lot of teams bumped him down their draft boards. They didn't like what they saw. Steelers picked him up, and he's fine. And we got through his first rookie season, played a lot along the line, and he was fine. So maybe the Steelers medical staff use things differently. I don't know. But nonetheless, the Steelers take this kid, and honestly, he's not really a kid. He's 24 years old. The one thing about him is he has position flexibility and versatility. Mike Tomlin loves players that can play multiple positions, and he certainly fits the bill. There's people that have even said that he could play center. Now, in the press conference after the pick, Mike Tomlin was specifically asked, is this guy going to be a center? And he said, no, he will play tackle. So that was really interesting. So there's a ripple effect to all these things. There's definitely a ripple effect. So first and foremost, let's talk about how they got there, how the draft board fell. That was incredible. And it brings me back to a conversation that I had with one of the sources that I have in the National Football League. And he was talking to me and he was saying how, you know, the Steelers draft so well, and it's because they just do what they have to do. He said, there's going to be teams that get silly this draft with quarterbacks because it's a very talented quarterback class. Everyone's like, this is one of the best quarterback classes that we've seen in a really long time. He said, there will be people that get silly. We will get silly with this quarterback class. And he was right. He was right with six quarterbacks being selected in the top 12 picks with no defensive players in at all going until I think pick 15 in the draft. Unheard of stuff. Absolutely unheard of. And I think that when you look back on the draft, the Steelers are sitting there at 20. I'm listening. I keep this in the back of my head. The scout saying, like, teams are going to get silly. The Atlanta Falcons stay at 8 and they draft Michael Penix Jr., the quarterback out of Washington. And wow, did that shock a lot of people, myself included. Then you have J.J. McCarthy went at, I think, 10. I think the Vikings traded up one spot with the Jets. Then you have Bo Nix going to the Broncos at 12. I mean, there were just so many moves that were made that no one that tries to predict, I'm not one of these people that tries to predict what's going to happen. I don't do mock drafts. I don't even really like to read them too much. But still, no one predicted 6 quarterbacks going in the top 12. So what does that do to the Steelers? Just pushes everything back. Pushes everything back. You know, I talk with people like Coach KT Smith on the NFL Whip Round. I had him on my show on Monday to talk about scheme fit for the Steelers. And I would always ask these people, like, well, what do you think if 6 quarterbacks went in the top 15? Everyone would always say the same thing. Yeah, could it happen? Sure, but I don't think it will. And it did. And it freaking did. And so all of a sudden, you have players like Quinyon Mitchell were there. You've got some wide receiver talent there. And obviously some offensive line talent. And all of a sudden, you're looking at how this board is breaking down. You're thinking, what? The Steelers are going to have their choice. They're going to have their choice. They're not going to need to trade anything. They're going to get to choose. This is incredible. This is absolutely fascinating stuff. So the board fell to the Steelers. So what do we know about this Troy Faliutanu? That's a good, I think it's very important that we understand this. So I looked up his draft profile because honestly, we've talked a lot about Graham Barton's 9.99 raw athletic score, the RAS score. Troy Faliutanu's was a 9.86, I believe. So not too far behind. This guy is an athletic freak. He is a very, very freaky athletic person for the overarching offensive line. Now let's look at where the what we know, I guess, about his build. So he's 6'4". Now a lot of people say he's 6'3", and that's pretty small for a tackle. He weighs 317 pounds, but his arms are really long, 34.5-inch arms, which is actually longer than Joe Alt, who was the top tackle taken by the Los Angeles Chargers earlier in the first round. But still, he gets good next-gen stats when you look at NFL.com's breakdown. He's ranking in the top 10, if not top 5 or top 3, in almost every single metric in that regard. He ran the 40-yard dash in 5.01 seconds, a vertical jump of 32.5 inches, a broad jump of 9 feet, 5 inches, a 10-yard split of 1.71 seconds. Just some really, really crazy stuff. So let's look at his career last year mainly. At the University of Washington, he was the third-team Associated Press All-American, the first-team All-Pac-12. The team won the Joe Moore Award, given to the nation's top offensive line, the team's offensive power player of the year, a finalist for the Polynesian College Football Player of the Year, and he started all 15 games at left tackle. So let's do a quick overview. This is from Lance Zierlein of NFL.com. He says he's a ready-made brawler without an ounce of finesse in his game. Faliutanu has starting experience at tackle and guard and is well-coached, but he will default to unruly hand-fighting when his technique gets away from him. He plays with average hand placement and can be beaten by length, but his tenacity and footwork keep him connected to base blocks. He's capable of getting to reach blocks in zone and chaperoning running backs wide as a pulling guard on the next level. He's a pop and reset pass puncher who uses active hands and feet to help with extended mirroring he's forced into. Faliutanu needs to prove he has the leverage and hand quickness to play inside, but all signs point to him becoming a good future starter. Now, an NFL scout told NFL.com, quote, he comes from a good program. He's a really hard-nosed player who can take coaching, love the makeup, end quote. So interesting stuff when you look at that scouting report. I think a lot of people are just wondering, what is he going to do for Steelers? Are they going to try to flex him inside? Are they going to keep him on the outside at tackle? what is the plan? And we don't know. We don't know what the plan is. Not yet, at least. But honestly, when I think about this draft pick, when I think about how the draft board fell to the Steelers at 20, when I think about them not having to trade anything and still getting the player that they want, a player that they feel can come in and play in year one. And I think that the Steelers had every opportunity to go flashy. You know, they were, like I said, there were wide receivers there. Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback from Toledo that they really liked. He was there. They could have gone flashy. Flashy are the perimeter players. The flashy are the players that are on the outside. They're going to make the big time bucks. And the Steelers said, no. I think they did the right thing when they said, we need to fix the offensive line. If you watched our live stream leading up to the draft pick, I was talking about this. I want the Steelers to fix the offensive line. Fix it. Just fix it for good. Fix it for good. Get your guy. So they get their other tackle. You have bookend tackles now with Faiutanu and Broderick Jones. You've got the guards with Seumalo and Daniels, and you're only missing one piece of the puzzle at center. But fix the trenches. That's what they have to do on both sides. In round one, they address the offensive side. I hope they address the defensive side in this draft because they need to. But my gosh, I was excited with the pick. And the more I learn, the more I glean from these people that know way more about football than I do, the more I realized that this was a really, really great selection for the Steelers. I'm excited to see how he plays out. But one pick in one round does not make an NFL draft. We all know this. There is still a lot of work to do. There is a lot of work to do. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, I'm going to be giving you some winners and losers after the round one pick of Troy Faiutanu, the offensive tackle out of Washington. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. Steelers fans, it is time for some winners and losers after the Steelers' 20th pick, Troy Faiutanu out of Washington. I got to keep saying that name. I got to keep saying it so that I say it correctly. Faiutanu. I hope I'm saying it properly. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, but that's what we're rolling with today on this Friday on the Let's Ride podcast. Let's do some winners and losers. You might say, Jeff, how can you have winners and losers after one pick? Well, there's always winners and losers because there is a ripple effect. We have several winners. And we have some losers. So let's go with the winners first. Let's start with the man himself, Troy Faiutanu himself. Why? The guy grew up in Nevada. He is from, let me give you the exact city in case you didn't know. He is from the town of Hendersonville, Nevada. He's obviously of Polynesian descent, but he grew up a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. He grew up idolizing, yep, you guessed it, Troy Polamalu. This is literally a dream come true for this young man. He's already said on his Twitter account, it was written that he should be going to the Steelers. This guy is a football junkie. Mike Tomlin loves football junkies. He doesn't want to have to motivate players to get better. He doesn't want to have to motivate people to train, to study, to work on their craft. He wants guys that have that built into their DNA. And when you talk about Faiutanu being a Steeler fan, already having that in his DNA, it all matches up and it all makes sense that the Steelers made him their first round draft pick in the 2024 NFL draft. So Troy Faiutanu, congratulations on being selected and being on your first winner's list. Let's hope there's many more to come. The next winner is the offensive line. Just in general, the offensive line in general, Dan Moore Jr. was a serviceable tackle. We'll talk about Dan Moore in a second, but what they need, if they needed, and hopefully what they got, was they needed a not serviceable player, but a transcendent player, a player that can make everyone else around them better. Not sure Dan Moore is that guy. So if you have Broderick Jones and Faiutanu now, these two first-round draft picks should be your bookend tackles for the very, very long-term future. The decade plus? I hope so, because if they get this right, these two guys could be mauling people for the foreseeable future. You have good tackles, it's going to make your guards better. Yeah, guards are playing better. It's going to make your center better, and it's going to make everyone else better. So the offensive line gets a huge bump up, and that's why they're winners. The next winners are going to be the quarterbacks and running backs, and then by proxy, the receivers. Russell Wilson and or Justin Fields have to love this pick. They have to love this pick. Why? They're both right-handed quarterbacks, so if this guy's going to play left tackle, he's going to protect the blind side of the quarterback, or maybe they switch him. Maybe they have Broderick Jones move to left and Faiutanu go to right. I'm not sure how they're going to structure this thing. They probably are figuring this out as they go. So needless to say, the quarterbacks, running backs, they should be ecstatic. The offense itself is going to continue its youth movement. They should be happy with this selection. Let's go to the next winner. The next winner is Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith, the new offensive coordinator for the Pittsburgh Steelers, he loves the ground and pound game. He absolutely is one of those coaches who, if he had his way, I'm going to run it right down your throat every single time. Guess who else loves that style of football? Mike Tomlin. Steeler fans might want him to air it out more, and I'm sure they will throw the ball more than you think, but they also are going to want to be physical. They're going to want to win the point of attack, and they're going to want to be dominant in the trenches. And if you read anything, watch anything about Faiutanu, I'm going to direct you to Coach KT Smith. Has done a breakdown on Faiutanu's game for our Steel Curtain Network YouTube channel. Go check it out. And all you hear them say over and over and over again, physicality. He's physical. He's a mauler. He's tough. That's what you want. Arthur Smith gets his guy. He now has his tackles at his disposal, and that should increase the Steelers' overall production, especially in the ground game, but hopefully also in the passing game. And then the last winner, we have five. Omar Khan and company. Omar Khan and company. I said this before, and I'll say it again. Last draft, everyone said, man, he was so good. You know, they trade up in round one to get Broderick Jones. Then they get those picks back later. Yes, he gambled. He rolled the dice when he went up to get Broderick Jones and then trading back with Carolina later in that draft. But I will say this, too. Omar Khan's gotten really freaking lucky, too. He's gotten really, really lucky. You can say that luck is being educated and having like educated guesses on how things could play out. And that's fine. You can absolutely suggest that. And I'm not going to disagree with you, but I will say this. He and a lot of the teams in the back half of the draft got really fortunate with how the draft broke leading up to them. There were a lot of questionable picks. We talked about that in the first half of the show. A lot of players that like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this guy's still here. Oh my goodness. This is incredible. That he got very fortunate that a player of this caliber, who most people had as one of the top, I would probably say one of the top four or five offensive linemen in this draft, they get him at 20 and don't have to move up. It's incredible. Omar Khan does it again. He gets lucky again. He was patient. I loved how in the post-pick press conference with Mike Tomlin, he said how, man, he goes, I got to be honest. Every single time someone was on the clock, those 10 minutes felt like they were taking forever. And even Mike Tomlin chimed in and said, man, yeah, he's right. He was wearing me out. But Omar Khan and company, they are the winners. So to go back over the winners, Troy Faiutanu, the offensive line, quarterbacks and running backs, Arthur Smith, and Omar Khan and company. All right, now let's do some losers. We got to go to the other side of the docket too. Losers. I already mentioned him once. Got to bring up Dan Moore Jr. So Dan Moore did nothing wrong. He's not a top. He was a third round draft pick. He did nothing wrong. He just was, again, a serviceable offensive tackle. The Steelers needed something better than a serviceable tackle. So they went and they drafted this Troy Faiutanu in the first round. That also means that Dan Moore Jr., I'm sure Mike Tomlin's going to say that it's going to be a competition, and this is worse than may the best man win. And Dan Moore might actually start the season at left tackle, but I would be stunned if he finished the season at left tackle, barring an injury. Dan Moore Jr. is in the final year of his rookie contract. The Steelers see the writing on the wall that they're probably not going to want him back. And so what do? They go out and they find their next tackle. It sucks. It's the business. It sucks. But if Dan Moore could be the backup, the swing tackle at right and left, that's a pretty good option for 2024. If I'm being completely honest, that's a pretty good option. Dan Moore Jr., though, unfortunately for him, is the first loser. The next is not a player. It's more hopes and maybe aspirations. And those would be the hopes of Broderick Jones playing at left tackle. Again, the Steelers might try to move Faiutanu to right and put Broderick Jones back at his natural position at left tackle. I don't know, but it doesn't seem like that fits. Mike Tomlin did mention how at Washington, Faiutanu played in a left-handed system, meaning Michael Penix Jr. was a left-handed quarterback. So technically, he played more of the right tackle with a right-handed quarterback when he played left tackle on the left side for a left-handed quarterback. So, but Broderick Jones, I think a lot of people just want him to be able to play left tackle because it seems like that's where he belongs. We'll see. But as of right now, it doesn't seem like that's in the cards for Broderick Jones as it pertains to him hoping to maybe move back to the left side. Other losers, I got to be honest, we were told when I gave you the hierarchy on my podcast, this was weeks ago, about who the Steelers really, really liked on the offensive line. And they had Graham Barton as number one. Zach Frazier was two, Jackson Powers Johnson. And then at the time, the Steelers had not met with Troy Faiutanu yet. And I was told by my source, they really like this guy, but they have some questions and they want to bring him in for a pre-draft visit, which they did. So, but that being said, I said Graham Barton was a loser. Graham Barton did end up going in the first round. He went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think at pick 26. So he's not on the board anymore, but Graham Barton, unfortunately, he was a lot of people's number one pick for the Steelers at 20. Steelers go in a different direction. If Faiutanu wasn't on the board, would they have gone with Graham Barton? We'll never know. We will never know. And those are really the only losers right now. We'll have more winners and losers on Monday's podcast talking about all of the draft, all of that stuff. It's just going to be a chaotic weekend, as it always is with the NFL draft. But let's finish this up with what's next for the Steelers. Where do they go from here? What does round two, round three, and then even day three, rounds four through seven, mean for the Steelers? Friday night's the biggest night for the Steelers, in my opinion. Friday night is the night. Why? You have three picks in two rounds, and this is where the Steelers should be able to wheel and deal if they want to move up and get a player. So they also have those two sixth-round picks, because remember, they're day three picks. They have one fourth-round pick, no fifth-round picks, two sixth-round picks, and no seventh-round picks. If I'm Omar Khan, I'm looking to maybe move one of those sixth-round draft picks and trying to move up in either the second or the third round. I'm also willing to move one of those third-round picks to move up in round two and get a player that I really want. So in other words, let's say it would play like this. I want a guy in the second round. Maybe it's a Zach Frazier that they think can come in and be a starter at center right away. So I don't want to wait. I don't think he's going to be there at 51. So I'm going to move up. So I'm going to package maybe my fourth round pick. If I have to, that's fine. I don't know if it would take a third round draft pick, depending on how far up you have to move, but you go up and get him. Go up and get your guy. Then I'm willing to package some of those late round picks, day three picks, if I have to get other players that I want, maybe in round three. I am fine with the Steelers having less than seven players selected. If the players they get are top tier players on days one and two, this is the day that really great teams are built. And the Steelers, they have to start addressing both sides of the ball within these draft classes. And that's something else I'm going to be looking for. They need a center. We know this. Everyone knows this. Do they need a wide receiver? Maybe not. They might still be able to go back to the drawing board and get a Tyler Boyd on free agency or someone like that. There are options still remaining. They might not have to go wide receiver. I think they will, but they also have needs on the defensive side of the ball that I really hope are addressed. Cornerback. My gosh, the defensive line. I just spoke all that in the first half of this show about, my gosh, give me the bolstering of the lines. So the offensive line, once the center is picked, should be set. The defensive line needs help too. They can't forget the defensive side of the ball here. I don't think they will. Friday night is the big night for the Steelers. We are going to have everything for you on the Steel Curtain Network, steelcurtainnetwork.com, our YouTube channel. We'll be doing a live stream again, I think. We'll obviously have our shows on after each pick to talk about those selections. Make sure you check us out. It is going to be wild. It's going to be fun. It's fast and furious draft weekend is every single year, and I'm excited for it again this year. But I know this wasn't a typical 30-minute podcast. My apologies. There's just a lot of stuff going on right now, and I'm excited. I'm excited for this. I can't wait. Make sure you check out State of the Steelers later this afternoon. Troy Fa'utanu. Maybe we'll print up some proper phonetic pronunciation of the name so that Yinzers can wear the shirt around so they know how to pronounce the kid's name. All right, so Troy Fa'utanu, welcome to the Steelers, man. You grew up a Steeler fan, idolizing Troy Polamalu. Pretty cool. Pretty cool story. I like what the Steelers did. Bolster the line. There's still more work to be done in rounds 2, 3, and 4 on. So make sure you're staying tuned. SteelCurtainNetwork.com. But as we finish, you know how we finish out. Be safe, be kind, and God bless. Have a wild weekend. Go Steelers.